All right. We are in Yeshaya Perek Lamed Gimel. We had something to wrap up in Lamed Gimel, and then we get to move on to Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey, which are very exciting. But we spent time on Lamed Gimel, the last of the Hoys, in which Yerushalayim throws off the yoke of the enemy with the rise of justice. We talked about the just king, which we assume is Chizkiyahu. We also noted the Mashiach associations. Hashem creates a moat around Yerushalayim. It's a new kind of moat, not the moat that you were trying to build in the 22nd Perek, but rather a moat from Hashem that boats cannot cross. And we talked about at the end how this connects to the previous hoys. We noted it connects in terms of theme, as well as in terms of language, where we began the hoys by talking about listening to the Navi and not mocking and scorning what the Navi has to say. And we said there would be ultimately a promise that there would be redemption when you do follow, and that's carried through in this parak. We were also warned previously in the Hoys not to pursue alliances, and here we're told how those alliances will end, that those nations will not be able to withstand the Assyrians, and then the linguistic imagery. So we talked about the Migdalim that were knocked down earlier, and here we are told, we had that line, Ayeh Soferet HaMigdalim. We had the Am Nilag. The Navi was mocked for his language, and now the enemy will have this thick speech that is mocked as well. The different ways to take Nilag. We talked about the theme of seeing, how that has played out across the Hoys, where originally you weren't able to see, and then here, Hayu Einecha Ra'os Es Morecha, and we had other seeing that showed up in this parak. I'm just racing through, and I'm not sure that it's a value to race through, but nonetheless. But the last piece, or next to last piece, that I wanted to show you from this parak is a pasuk which you learn it in yeshiva very early on. And needless to say, no one bothers to explain the context for the pasuk. It's just a pasuk. It's there in order to be a vehicle to provide me what the Gemara is going to do with it. And it's really a shame, because as a result, you don't really understand why the Gemara does what it does. Take a look, please, on your sheet at the first source. Okay? From the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, you can connect six words that are found in a pasuk in our parak with the six orders of the Mishnah, right? You know that the Mishnah is structured in Masechtot, in tractates, volumes, but that the volumes themselves present in a particular set of sets, or orders as they're called. Sedarim is the term that we use in Hebrew, from which you get the word order. So each one has its own area, and each one is linked to a word in this pasuk. So, you know, what I did on the sheet was a little lazy in that I didn't translate the names of the Sedarim, so I'm going to explain that now as we go through it. But they're tying it into our chapter, specifically chapter 33, sentence 6. In which Yeshaya said to us, Yeshaya said to the listener, "V'haya emunas itecha chosin Yeshuos chokmas vadas yiras Hashem hi otzaro." This pasuk in and of itself is hard enough to translate before you even get to the Gemara. I'm going to give you a quick read from the art scroll, but we're going to come back to what this pasuk means after we've seen what the Gemara does. So the Stone Tanakh, page 1009, says, "The faith of your times will be the strength of your salvations, wisdom and knowledge. Fear of Hashem, that is man's treasure." So now we know exactly what the pasuk is talking about. I don't. This is, as you see in the margin, part of a vision of the fall of the enemies of the Jews. Hashem will be exalted. Sion is filled with justice and righteousness. But the rest of that, the part that's actually our pasuk, I don't really understand. And then take a look what the Gemara does with it. Now let's take a look at number one on the sheet, in which Reish Lakish says, "Emunat," right? "Emunat itecha is seder zra'im." Zra'im, the first order of Mishnah, is agriculture. Starts out with brachot, and then it goes into all the laws of tithing and prohibited forms of agriculture, the issues of kilayim, challah, trumos, masros, all of those are there in Zra'im. So emunat refers to Zra'im. You can understand why that would be, right? It's the farmer's faith. There's an element of the trust that the farmer has. I had a Rebbe once, I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was Rabbi Rivlin in Keren Biavne, but I'm not sure it was, who said, imagine what it must have been like for Jews coming out of the Midbar and into Israel. Right? You're coming out of the Midbar, in which your bread comes from the heavens. And now you're told, here's what you do. You take your grain, and you stick it in the ground. And then what? Pour water on it. And then wait. Don't worry, stuff's going to grow. Now, it's not really like that, because they had interactions with others in the Midbar. They knew what bread was.
And they knew that things grew.
Right.
But still, the faith one needs to make, you know, to put something, to do all that work.
Yes.
And to
start out by destroying your food.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they knew what bread was. It's really, you know, it's an exaggeration. But they I'm not going anywhere near that. But the faith of the farmer, so all right, there's an association we can make. That's fine. Itecha, your times, is Moed. So again, that makes sense, right? Itecha, your times, Moed, starts with Shabbos and Erevin, and then moves into Pesachim, and then it goes through all the different Yamim Tovim and the like. So yeah, no, that actually works as well. We're good with that association. Chosen is Nashim. That's a very interesting one. Chosen is strength. That's usually the way we translate it here. And they translate actually in the art scroll here as strength. So Nashim is what it sounds like. The order of Mishnah that deals with marriage issues, divorce issues, the Yevamos, Kiddushin, Gin, all of those are there. So strength refers to Nashim. Okay, I'm willing to take that. I think that's good.
So I just will tell you, here I have devotion.
For Chosen?
Yes.
That's very interesting. Are you sure? Because the way that you translate the sentence, the words can get swapped.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Faithfulness is to your charge was for wealth, wisdom, and devotion.
I'm not sure. Because emunah could have been devotion in there. I'm not sure how to read that. The Yeshuot is Nezikin. Nezikin is what it sounds like, tort law. Laws of damages. It's not only about that, it's property rights also, it's how based in functions. But Yeshuot, salvation, does it come about when you deal with those areas of law? You can see how it gets harder to find the parallels.
You do justly.
Sorry?
Justly.
Yeah. Then you'll get Yeshua. Could be. Chochmat is Kachim. Knowledge is kachim. Kachim certainly requires knowledge. Kachim is what it sounds like. It's the sacrifices in the Beis Hamikdash, all of their various rules. It's also chulin, which is its own discussion. And then da'at, knowledge, wisdom, is taharot, the laws of purity and impurity. Certainly the latter two orders of Mishnah are considered to be the hardest just in terms of the knowledge level that you need in order to really grasp them. More so now probably than when you have a Beis HaMikdash. Because for us, it's all brand new. You're only seeing it in the Gemara, right? In other words, you can approach learning about Pesach in the Gemara with some knowledge of what Pesach is and what Chametz is and what Matzah is and all of that. You're out of luck when you walk into Tzvachim. You're starting from scratch. So one wonders if that was the same thing for them. It certainly makes it sound like it is by pinning those as Chachmas and Das. And then it concludes by saying, Vafilu Achi, even with this, Yiras Hashem Hi Otzaro, awe of God is the storehouse for all of this. So when you learn this, as I learned it in yeshiva initially, it's all just a blur. It's, here's a sentence from Yeshaya that has six words. We have six orders of the Mishnah. You can sort of tie some of them together. And then the real message of this Gemara is the ending. The real message of the Gemara is that all of the knowledge you amass, all of the learning that you do, is meaningless if you don't have reverence for Hashem, because without it, it's just intellectual, and it will not lead you to good places. And that's something the Gemara plays out in various ways. when the Gemara talks about people like Doeg HaAdomi, who's responsible for the massacre of Nov, as being a great Talmud Chacham, it says because all of his learning was from his lips and outward. All the knowledge you amass, if you don't have the character to go with it, is actually dangerous. And that's the way you usually learn it, but without any understanding of why you picked this pasuk. There are lots of psukim that has six words.
That's what I'm wondering. And you could argue, you could... If you mix them around, you could argue why that would be.
Yeah. Better. Oh, totally. No. Absolutely. If you had told me that Kudshim was Chosen, I would have said sure, because that's the strength of the Jewish people is when they bring their korbanos to Hashem. Absolutely, could have done that in a heartbeat. The only thing about this pasuk to recommend it is really the fact that at the end it says the storehouse for everything is reverence for Hashem. And the Gemara actually has this very beautiful metaphor, which I didn't bring you here. But it says that somebody who has all of the learning but doesn't have reverence for Hashem is like somebody who has a storehouse filled with grain but doesn't have the key. So how's he getting in? Which leads to discussion about whether you need the reverence for Hashem first in order to enter, whether it's needed afterwards as a preservative. All interesting discussions dealt with in the commentaries. And then Rava teaches you one more lesson here before we unpack what this is all doing. Rava says, I'm just going to stick with my English, but you can see it in the Hebrew as well. When a person is brought in for judgment, meaning after a person passes away, they say to him, no word on who they are, did you deal honestly? Right? Nasata venatata be'emuna. Was your business honest? Were your dealings with others honest? Did you establish time for Torah study? Did you involve yourself in procreation? Did you hope for Mashiach? Did you delve into fine points of wisdom? Did you understand lessons within lessons? And all of that is tied to these six words from the pasuk. Right? Nasata venatata be'emunat. Did you deal with others honestly? That's the that's emunat. Did you establish time, itim, for Torah study? That's itacha. Involve yourself in procreation is chosen, which is interesting. Yeshuot is obviously Mashiach. And then chachmandat is wisdom and understanding lessons. That actually works a lot easier than Reish Lakish did. And yet, with all of this, once again, if you have the awe of Hashem, you'll do well. If you don't have that, it's not taking you anywhere. So, what is this Gemara doing? What is this link to our pasuk? What is this all about? So, first of all, I gave you a number two as part of my ongoing effort to reduce the size of the texts that we bring here and just get the ideas. I brought you three different approaches on how to read the pasuk. But the most important point is a preface to it, which is this pasuk is fundamentally about how the Jews are going to survive when they are suffering at the hands of the Shodid, the despoiler who began this parak. Ashur is coming along. Ashur is the destroyer. This parak is about the downfall of Ashur and how the Jews survive. This line is supposed to be about how it is that you're going to make it. How are you going to survive the despoiler? So Rashi has two approaches. And I brought it on the sheet in number two. His first read is, well, first of all, in general, Rashi's read is that emunah means your faith. The faith that you have. And yeshua, chokhmah, da'at, salvation, wisdom, understanding, and all of that are your reward. The first half of the sentence is what you give. And the second half is what God responds with. So, if you will have emunat itacha, the faith at your times, meaning, as I wrote on the sheet, at the times when you tithe, if you will have emunah at your times, the result will be that you will receive from God strength, wisdom, the understanding. You're going to get all of that from God. That's Rashi's first take. Rashi's second take is the emunah is your faith in God at times, not the times when you tithe, but times in your history, when things have been difficult. If you will have emunah, if you will have faith in God at the various times in your history when you're in trouble, v'emunas itecha, in that case, that faith will be a source of strength, wisdom, and da'at preserved by reverence in reverence of God, awe of God. So Rashi is reading it as, fundamentally, the way to read this sentence according to Rashi is, when you kick in with emunah, everything will work out. If you have that emunah in Hashem, then either you will, you know, your emunah will be the source of your strength and so on when you tithe, or alternatively, your emunah, your faith in difficult periods will be a source of strength, will be a source of wisdom, will be a source of da'at. That's Rashi. The other approach, Radak Abarbanel, similar in Malbim, is that everything in the sentence is given to you. The things that you have here are given to you in response to something that you have. If you have Chochmah Vadat, if you have knowledge and wisdom, Emunah will be given to you. Emunah, not meaning faith, but meaning, as I wrote on the sheet, endurance. The ability to endure. We've used that word that way previously in Yeshaya as well. The salvation will be given to you. As long as you have that chokhmah and da'at, and then reverence for God will preserve it. So, however you read this sentence, whether you read it as you demonstrate faith, and that will lead to you having good things, or whether it is when you have the knowledge and the wisdom, then you will be given the ability to endure. And for all of this, you need Yirat Hashem. Fundamentally, it's about how we're going to survive. How will we survive the Assyrians? And I think what the Gemara is trying to do here is responding to that context and saying, as the Gemara always says, how is it that the Jews survive the despoiler? Through me. That's what the Gemara is telling you. Right? Reish Lakish is saying, Rava is saying, the way that you will survive the Assyrians, and the way that you will survive the Babylonians, and the way that you will survive the Greeks and the Persians, and the way you will survive the Romans, down the line, your survival is about learning Torah. That's what the Gemara is trying to do. So it's not just pulling a sentence out of a void and saying, here are some words that loosely associate with the names of Mishnah. What it's trying to say is, nationally, you survived because of Torah Shabbal Peh, because of the spoken Torah, preserved via Yirat Hashem, preserved via reverence for God. And what Rava does is he brings it to the personal level. Right? Reish Lakish is speaking on the national level. This is how the nation has survived. Rava comes along and says, not just on the national level, on the personal level. The way that you as an individual are going to survive the Day of Judgment is going to be if you have devoted yourself to Torah and you have this reverence for Hashem. Clear? Crickets. Clear? No, I mean, like, you follow what the Gemara is doing. I'm very happy that I actually now understand what the Gemara was trying to do. One other piece from here that's worth noting, just very quickly, if you jump to Pasuk Tet Vav, sentence 15. The beginning of the sentence. Right? Yeshaya here, in sentence 15, is in this discussion about how when you have a leader who is just, he will save you, and he describes the leader as Halech Tzedakot V'Dover Meisharim, one who walks with righteousness, one who speaks justly, Mo'es V'Betza Ma'ashakot, he has no interest in profit from harming people, no Er Kapav Mitvoch Bashochad, he shakes off his hand from supporting bribes, they are being supported with bribes, I suppose. The Otemas No Mishmoa Damem, he seals his ears, he doesn't want to hear plots against people of bloodshed. He will close his eyes. He's not interested in being drawn into evil. So I brought you here the Gemara in Makos, the end of Makos, in source number 3, part of a larger passage in the Gemara where it shows you how each prophet tries to summarize the Torah and what it wants you to do. So the Gemara here says, Yeshaya, in our Pasuk, sums up what the Torah wants from you in 6 commands. Yeah, you can count them up. There are 6. It's Halech Tzedakot, right? Walks justly. Dover Meisharim, speak honestly, speak justly. Reject bribes. Shake your hands from supporting or taking bribes. They close your ears from being drawn into wickedness and close your eyes from being drawn into wickedness. So Yeshaya said, that's what the Gemara says. Yeshaya is giving you right here what a person needs to know. Follow? Okay. So that's all a wrap up of Perek Lamed Gimel.